In our reading, Paul is beginning what is often called his first missionary journey. And this journey will continue until the end of the next chapter. Luke isn't telling us everything that happened on this trip. He's just giving us the highlights. But our reading for this evening is the first part. Luke tells us that Paul and Barnabas go down to Seleucia. It was a city on the coast. And they take a ship from there to the island of Cyprus. After a couple days of sailing, they landed at Salamis, a major city on the eastern coast. And they immediately went to work. They began to preach Jesus in all of the synagogues of the Jews, calling on all to repent and to believe the gospel. Luke also tells us that they went through the entire island, as far as Paphos, a city on the western coast. And that would have been a journey of more than 100 miles. And since Paul and Barnabas went along that whole journey, preaching and teaching as they went, it would have taken them some time to get from one end of the island to the other. But when they got to Paphos, on the western side of Cyprus, they met there two men, the first of whom was a man named Sergius Paulus. He was the Roman proconsul. To put it in our terms, he was the governor of the island. Sergius was a Roman, which meant that he didn't know much about God, if anything at all. But to his credit, Luke tells us that he was willing to learn and to listen. But in the city, they also met another man, a man that Luke calls a magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was a man who clearly wanted to be in a position of power. He was hanging around the governor, hoping to impress him, twisting God's word with everything that he said, and trying to impress him with acts of power. But when Paul and Barnabas arrived in the city, we're told that they were preaching the gospel just as they had done before. And word of this came to the governor, who sent for them, wanting to hear what they had to say. And Paul and Barnabas, for their part, gladly went. They were willing to preach the gospel to anyone who was willing to listen, regardless of who they were. But as they were preaching the gospel, Bar-Jesus opposed them. He tried to stop the governor from listening to what they had to say. And whether it was because he was afraid of losing his power or losing his influence over the governor, or whether it was because he simply had a hard heart, ultimately doesn't matter all that much. Either way, Bar-Jesus tries to keep the governor from listening. He tries to prevent Sergius from believing in Jesus. So Paul then rebukes him sharply. He says, starting in verse 10, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." And the judgment of God falls quickly upon him. Bar-Jesus becomes blind, just as Paul said that he would. He who tried for so long to persuade the governor by acts of power is now struck by the true power of God and made blind. And because of this, Luke tells us that the governor saw the truth. He came to believe in God, and he received the word of the Lord and believed in Jesus. Now, of course, it's worth pointing out that this is exactly the same judgment that once struck Paul. Because if you remember, on his way to Damascus, Jesus met him, and Jesus made him blind for a time, so that he too had to be led by the hand. In a way, Paul used to be a lot like Bar-Jesus, opposed to God, blind to the truth, and fighting against Jesus. But Paul repented and believed the gospel. Luke seems to suggest that Bar-Jesus did not. Even though he doesn't say it explicitly, it seems that Bar-Jesus, after his blindness was gone, went right back to his old ways. But the governor did believe, and God used this judgment on this false prophet to lead Sergius to faith, just as he had once done for Paul. Now, all of that is important, Christians, but this passage also teaches us something about the reality of this world. Paul shows us by his example that no matter where we go and no matter what we do, we are engaged in a spiritual war. Bar-Jesus is just one example of this war. We are fighting against those who are opposed to God. We are fighting against spiritual forces of evil. Because put yourself in the governor's shoes for a moment. Think about what was in front of him. He had Paul and Barnabas on the one side of him, telling him the clear word of God. And he had Bar-Jesus on the other side of him, trying to lead him away and to get him to listen to him instead. Christians, we find ourselves in exactly the same position each and every day. Because the world is always trying to lead us away from God. Satan is always trying to persuade us not to listen. He is always trying to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. Each and every day, Christians, we are bombarded by messages and ideas contrary to God's word, whether they come up in conversation, whether we hear them on the radio, whether we see them on TV or in movies or on the internet or wherever it may be. It's everywhere. And it's relentless, Christians. It's always there. It never gives up. It never takes a break. In that way, it's just like Bar-Jesus with the governor. I mean, let's think of it this way. There's 168 hours in a week. Let's say you're awake for 16 of them, that you get 8 hours of sleep every night. So you would have 112 waking hours each week. How many of those hours do you give to God? Just one on Sunday? That means you have one against 111. Maybe you give a couple of hours. I mean, we're here this evening, right? So that's two against 110. Or even let's say you give 1 hour every day to God. That's still seven against 105. More than 90% of our waking hours mean that we are surrounded by the world, surrounded by the messages of the world. So are we always on guard? Or do we think that spending hardly any time in God's word is good enough? I mean, think especially of children, Christians. Children who are so easily shaped by what is happening around them. Do we spend hardly any time in God's word with them? And then we wonder why they end up not taking God very seriously. Christians, we have to take our war against evil much more seriously than that. Our enemy never sleeps. Satan will not give up because he wants to bring us down. Or put yourself in Paul's shoes for a minute. Let's say, for example, that you want to say something for God, that you want to do what God wants you to do. And you go out into the world and you proclaim that word. But then you find opposition. sometimes people just telling you to shut up, or people trying to deceive others so that it seems like everything that we say falls on deaf ears. Yeah, the world can seem pretty overwhelming. Sometimes it can feel like we're just shouting into the darkness, like we're just talking to a brick wall. And it can leave us wondering if we are making any kind of difference. It can leave us wondering whether anyone will want to listen. We might even think that, well, there's no point anymore. The work is too hard. Things are just too far gone. But Christians, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Yes, Satan opposes us. Yes, we fight against those who are opposed to God. But our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is wiser than those who are in the world. Don't trust in your own power, Christians. That's not going to work. It'll never be good enough. If it was just up to you and to you alone, no one would ever come to know Jesus Christ. But you're not alone. You can trust in the Lord who made heaven and earth. Trust in God who is able to move mountains. We can be like Paul in that sense. That we can speak the word of God, proclaim it to those who need to hear it, even in the face of opposition, and then leave the results up to God. Because after all, it was not Paul who made Bar-Jesus blind. It was God. It was not Paul who brought the governor to faith. It was God. So we can trust in God and look to him through all things, because all things are possible with him. And knowing this, Christians, put on the full armor of God. Take your spiritual war seriously. Take up the word of God. Say what needs to be said. And our Lord will give you the victory through Jesus Christ, his Son. Let us pray. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your Son and bring to naught all he has done. Amen.